The reading is taken from Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that was it nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was nearly completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
So I'm not preaching, he is. But the reason we've got that reading today, at the end of my first year, when various things had, first year of training, when various things had gone belly up, and it was the commendation weekend for those who were leaving that year, the year ahead of me, I had already spent Friday and Saturday in floods of tears trying to hold it together, not to ruin it for those whose special day it was. And we'd already been in chapel three times by the time they left us, and we had a fourth service to go to, which I was not terribly impressed by. And this was a service with prayer stations. In their wisdom, they knew what they were doing. Actually, the rest of us left behind needed a space to deal with it. And I sort of tried to engage with a couple of prayer stations, and then I gave up. And it's June. It was similar weather. So the stone floor of the chapel was really quite nice. So I get where I should get far more often than I do, which is flat on my face on the floor, praying and going, "God, I can't deal with this. We've had too many twists and turns, too many changing goalposts, too many times." And this reading, I don't know if somebody had already read this reading on that day or not, I've no memory at all, but several of the Gospels have this story, but this is the only one that uses the word cushion. And it talks about Jesus having his head on a cushion in the stern. He was asleep. And I can't use the word vision, it wasn't as strong as that, but it was one of the strongest pictures and impressions and conversations I've ever had. And Jesus stood up in the boat and said, "Get your head on that cushion, I'll deal with the boat." So I was ordered to lie down and rest while he took care of things. I thought that meant the storm had abated. I thought we were looking at the stilling of the storm. Actually, what I discovered the following morning was actually that had been a place of respite, a moment. The storm was still happening for me. It was the eye of the storm, a place where there was enough stillness to rest. So that's why we've got this reading this morning.
How many of you have seen Disney's film Moana? If you haven't seen it, I thoroughly recommend procuring a copy of it, either from, put your hands up again if you've seen it, either from one of these people, because if you've seen it, you almost certainly got a copy of it in your DVD collection at home, or find it somewhere, as they were doing a deal on Disney films. It is the most incredible film. It has the most gorgeous music, and there's several of the tracks attempting to play themselves simultaneously in my head right now. And I'm sure the same for you that are musical and love the film. The film is based on a tropical island, and there is a tribe on this island, and they have one rule. You don't go beyond the reef. It is dangerous beyond the reef. You do not go. Young girl called Moana has this amazing experience of the ocean when she's little. It's almost like she's been chosen for a special purpose, as a tiny little baby. And that scene ends with her father running towards her, grabbing her out of the edge of the ocean, which has been playing with her. grabbing her and looking out to sea with a scowl on his face and saying, "You stay away from the ocean. It's dangerous out there." And Moana grows up and she builds a boat of her own. She takes one of the little fishing boats they use to fish in the lagoon and she tries to get beyond the reef and she nearly drowns. And in talking to her grandma, who's the village crazy lady, she says, "No, I'm giving up on my dreams. I'm giving up on my dreams. I'm not going beyond the reef." And she becomes the chieftain of the tribe in training. And this clip that we're going to watch is what happens next. Moana's the first one you see with the flowers.
Some kisses. But I'm sure there's more to Hey Hey than meets the eye.
It's the harvest. This morning, I was husking the coconuts and...
Well, we should clear the diseased trees, and we will start a new grove there.
Thanks, Moana. She's doing great.
This suits you.
Chief, there's something you need to see. Our traps in the East Lagoon, they're pulling up less and less fish.
Then we'll rotate the fishing grounds.
We have. There's no fish.
Oh. Then we'll fish the far side of the island.
We tried.
The windward side?
And the leeward side. The shallows, the channel. We've tried the whole lagoon. They're just gone.
Well, have you tried using it?
I will talk to the council. I'm sure
what
we
can... What if we fish beyond the reef?
No one goes beyond the reef.
I know, but if there are no fish in the lagoon...
Moana.
And there's a whole ocean...
We have one rule.
An old rule when there were fish.
A rule that keeps us safe instead of endangering our people. So you can run right back to the water. Every time I think you're past this. No one goes beyond the reef.
Well, it's not like you said it in front of your dad. Standing on a boat.
I didn't say go beyond the reef because I want to be on the ocean.
But you still do. He's hard on you because...
Because he doesn't get me.
Because he was you, drawn to the ocean, down by the shore. He took a canoe, Moana. He crossed the reef and found an unforgiving sea, waves like mountains. His best friend begged to be on that boat. Your dad couldn't save him. He's hoping he can save you. Sometimes, who we wish we were, what we wish we could do, it's just not meant to be.
Sometimes who we wish we were, sometimes who we dream we could be, sometimes that can never be. I know that story is true for some people sat here. And I want you to know that this world is broken and sometimes those dreams and those ambitions aren't fulfilled because of what other people do and how other people behave. And we have no control over that. But I think sometimes we miss out on what God has planned for us because we don't dare to go beyond the reef. The disciples in the boat, they are fishermen. They know the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hands. They know this water. They know there can be sudden storms. It's okay. We've done this. Peter's been doing it probably since he was a child. James and John have been doing it since they were children. These are men who know how to handle a boat. And they get caught in a storm that frightens them to death. I wonder what the other disciples said after that incident. I can quite picture Thomas going, never going in a boat again. Don't trust them. What if Jesus wasn't there? We could have drowned. You can just hear Thomas saying that, can't you? Do you know what? The disciples could have lived a much simpler life if when Jesus said, follow me, they'd gone, yeah, nah, thanks. Not going beyond the reef. It's a rule that keeps you safe. God says, do you want to go on an adventure? And we say, nah, that's fine, I'm good. Aladdin stands on the balcony reaching out to Jasmine in Disney's Aladdin and says, do you trust me? And we're like, no, I'm not going on that thing. In The Matrix, Morpheus holds out the red pill and the blue pill. Can never remember which way around it is. Which one does Neo take? The red pill that lets him know what reality is like, or he takes the blue pill that just means he goes back to living his life, and we take the blue pill because it's safe. Do you know what? Those disciples could have avoided ever being caught in a storm again on a boat. Very simply. Because the Sea of Galilee is an inland sea and you can walk around it. It would take a bit longer. It would leave them a bit tireder. But do you know what? They don't ever have to get onto a boat ever again. It's so easy sometimes to forget the miracles and only remember the scared. It would be so easy for the disciples to say, I'm not getting in that boat again. Look what happened last time. I'm walking around. Bye. And off they go. And they miss everything that Jesus is doing in the middle of the lake. They would have missed Jesus walking on water. They would have missed Peter walking on water. They would have missed seeing Jesus in the midst of all that and walked around to the other side of the lake all on their own. When actually what Jesus wanted them to do was to take the boat and to take the risk and to take the step of faith. What would have happened if Jesus had said to Peter, James, and John, when he told them to come up the mountain, when he was transfigured, when he became as in his glorious heavenly body and met with Moses and Elijah? And what if they'd said, no, we're fine, thanks, we'll stay down here, don't like heights. What if when they got to Jerusalem on that last day and Jesus said, prepare the upper room, and they're like, no, we've made our own arrangements, thanks, we're going this way. Have a good time. Enjoy the Passover. And we all do that when we're scared. And we all do that because we think, do you know what? God wouldn't call me. Today is the 17th anniversary of my ordination as a deacon at Sheffield Cathedral. 17 years ago today, at about this moment, I knelt on the steps of Sheffield Cathedral and myself became a reverend rather than just a mister. I still sometimes look and think, I don't think they worked out what they were doing that day. One day someone will discover the mistake that they've made and they'll take this away from me. I still think that, and not just as a joke. And there's some of you who are sat there thinking, yeah, but I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not clever enough. I'm not holy enough. Can't say that word. Can't say that word. Rubbish. What a load of rubbish. Each one of you, every single one of you is called and chosen by God to fulfill his purpose in this world. You're chosen to be a blessing to your neighbors. You're chosen to be a blessing where you work. Some of you are chosen to take a lead in our church family. Some of you do already, and some of you haven't worked that out yet. I'm going to ask God for a crowbar for my anniversary of ordination, because I am going to go around this church family and I'm going to wrench as many buckets of light as I possibly can in the next 12 months. You know who you are because you're currently in this building. Do not hide your light. You have been chosen and called by God. And you know what? You need to get in the boat. And you need to set sail. And you need to know that there will be storms along the way. We've all been on that journey with Jackie through some of the storms that she's been through over the last 10 years. If she'd turned round and gone back to shore, she would have missed what Jesus was doing. And there have been many times when we could just have turned round and gone back to shore. And we wouldn't be here today, celebrating what we're celebrating today. And some of you here have got a call that has been gnawing away at you for some time. And it's a call to do something more in God's church. Some of you sit there and see things and think, I'd love to be able to share that. Some of you may even think up little sermon ideas in your heads and you're desperate to share them. Some of you may have this weird sense that God might be calling you on to some sort of leadership in God's church. And you're sat there going, oh, you wouldn't choose me. You wouldn't choose me. I've got some news for you. No. No, people wouldn't, but God did. And you've got two choices. You can either stay safe on the beach, or you can take the risk and cross the reef. And the waves are bigger, and the fish are scarier, and the sun is hotter. But if you only ever stay this side of the reef, you'll miss what God's got planned for you. Some of you here, before I retire, will be ordained. I'm sure of that. I'm absolutely sure of that. I'm not entirely sure who. I have some suspicions. I'm asking God for a big crowbar. But each of you has a call on your life from Jesus, whether you are 2 or whether you are 82. God is calling you today to get into that boat and to cross the reef. And when the storms come, know this, Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is there for you. Jesus is with you. Jesus is for you. And there will be days when it feels like he's fast asleep. There have been many days over the last 10 years when it's felt like Jesus has been fast asleep in the boat of our family. And that's not easy. But he was always there, just waiting either for the right time to wake up or for us to scream loud enough. But God has a call on each and every one of you. As the song puts it, that we're going to sing later, you and 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 you. You're all called. Listen to that prayer again that I prayed at the beginning. People make a mistake with that prayer, thinking it's just talking about the people who are going to be ordained. God our Father, Lord of all the world, through your Son, you've called us into the fellowship of your universal church, all of us. Hear our prayer for your faithful people, that's all of us, that each in their vocation and ministry, that's all of us, may be an instrument of your love. It then goes on to talk about the ordained who need special prayers because they're a bit strange. All of us are called to ministry. Never, ever, never, ever talk about being called into the ministry when you're talking about getting one of these. We are each called to minister in God's church. We're each called to be the people that God has called us to be. And we're each called to get into a boat and to cross the reef and to find out what God has for us. And to know that when the storms come, Jesus is with us in the boat. And even if it feels like he's asleep, he's still there. And he will act when he needs to. So, from the youngest to the oldest, you are all called and chosen. So my challenge to you today is, find it out. Some of you may know what it is God's calling you to, and he may be calling you to more. Some of you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Come and find me. We'll have a conversation over a cup of coffee. And let's work out and pray together what God's call for you is. But I know that each and every person sat in this building today is called and chosen by God to be ministers of the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you're sat there thinking, not me, come and speak to me at the end, and I will do my best to persuade you otherwise. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. If you want to see what God's doing in the first place, you have to be in the boat to start with. In the Narnia books, the children hear of the great lion Aslan. And one of the children asks of the person that's described Aslan to him, is he safe? And the response is, no, of course not. He's a lion, but he is kind. So today, put yourselves into the hands of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who isn't safe. He will lead you in and through storms. I promise you that. I can't promise you days of sunshine and light and blessing. I can promise you storms. But who is kind and who will lead you through. And if at this moment in time your heart is beating fast and your pulse is racing and you're thinking, oh dear Lord, he looked right at me when he was saying those things, come and talk to me and let's explore together what God has. I don't normally do this. I think there are 5 people in this building today that need to start a conversation about what God is doing in their lives. I don't normally get numbers when I do this sort of thing. I think there are 5 of you, and I'm going to be praying for those 5 who need to take a big, big step towards what God has planned for you. Shall we pray? Jesus Christ, King of all the world, Lord of wave and wind, would you blow your Spirit's power through our church family now. Would you blow us off the beach, over the reef, and out into open water? Would you give us your assurance that you are with us in the boat, whether you're asleep or not? And would you bring us through storms to the lands that you have promised us? Jesus, we say yes to you today. To everything that you have planned for us.